But I just love the idea. It just came to me of like an Italian Batman. Oh, you got the salami. What the fuck's a salami?
The Wayne fortune is just crime money.
Actually, it was snow. You know what? That's all misrepresentation. We sell meats, cured meats,
smoked
and tomato
meats.
Sauce. Smoked meats, cured meats, and tomato sauce. That's what
you
were.
You remember the Jack Nicholson Joker? They're like, where does he get these wonderful toys? And then just Batman hitting with like, fill out the back of a truck, you know?
It's a Batarang. What are you gonna do?
These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. Some of them are Davids,
but most of us are Daves.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different moms.
Welcome to Dave, episode 9. This week, we talk about the Batman villain, Dave, with actor and voiceover artist, Reno Romano.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows.
You know, these are the
Daves.
Maybe it's you, Joker. Maybe you're just not funny. The mask look must really be catching on. The Batman will fight fire with fire. But first, Bruce Wayne needs to lead a certain moth to flame.
How'd you do that?
I'm the Batman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dave Podcast. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
So for our featured Dave this week, we have a very special guest with us. We have, since this episode is about a season 3 episode where the villain was Dave, a robot that had all the personality traits of Batman's greatest villains. It was created by Hugo Strange. And we thought, who better guest to have on this episode than the guy who actually played Bruce Wayne, Batman himself? Please welcome Reno Romano to the show.
What's going on, fella?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm a little under the weather.
I'm sorry to hear it. That sucks.
So I'm going to do my best not to laugh this episode, because when I do, it hurts. And it sounds like a gravel truck. It's horrible. It's a horrific sound.
Now you're making me want to make you laugh, man.
See, I'm going to do my best to just laugh my ass off at nonsensical bullshit the entire time, just to make up for it.
Hey, man, that's what I'm here for. I'm the nonsensical idiot has arrived.
I have so many weird questions about your career that I have to ask.
I am prepared to answer weird questions.
Awesome.
Yeah, so pretty much, it's like I wrote to you in the email. It's just hanging out, having a good time, talking about...
Now, are we already hanging out and talking? In other words, are we being recorded? Is this being recorded?
We are being recorded right now.
Nice. Hey, are we allowed to fucking swear?
Yeah. Please do.
Nice. Wait. Was that? Are we allowed to fuck and swear?
And swear, yes. To fuck and swear. No, fucking swear. That, okay. That's my line. When I hear something, I'm going to fucking kill you. You were going to fuck and kill me. That's weird, dude. That's really fucking weird.
Can I take the killing part first and then you can fuck me?
Yeah. I don't know that I really want that, but you're weird.
But if I get to pick, if you're going to fuck and kill me first and then fuck me.
I'll kill you, man. That's fucking weird, man.
Keep the fucking quiet, if you would, though, yeah. You know? Like, just imagine, you know, like back in your parents' house type of fucking.
I was going to say my mother would be so proud of me just right off the top. In 30 seconds, I'm swearing.
Ugh, Italian. We got to go. Sorry, I didn't know.
Sorry. You know, well, I just had a thought. What if Batman were Italian? Oh, Joker, what the fuck? I'm telling you, Joker, don't fuck around.
is Peter Parker Italian?
Peter Parker is like the whitest Italian you ever met. You know, right. 18th generation Italian. Harvey Keitel and the Batman. Oh, Joker, don't make me come over that shit. Joker, please. I'm going to...
Oh, man. See, you're going to turn this into me just asking you to do stuff now. Like, I want to just hear, like, a little bit of Pesci in Goodfellas as the Batman.
Just fucking joke of me. What are you going to do? They fuck you at the drive-thru. A Batman.
So much for not laughing, buddy. Yeah, Rita's the best. How does that happen? Isn't it capicola? How does it become gabagoo?
You know what? It's a very good question. Let me explain how it happens. For example, this is an honest answer. I'm not trying to be funny. Goomba is actually the slangized version of compare. Il mio compare. A compare is your godfather. And a godfather, right, right. Because when you say you greet one another, say, oh, he's a Goomba. Goomba, it's actually C-O-M-B-A, but it becomes Goomba.
It's right. It's weird. So I'm in Southern California, so compadre, same thing. Like, it's same root, right?
It's exactly. So it's then it becomes just, compa, and then it becomes Goomba, and it's just you glottal stop the beginning, Goomba. So that's literally what it means. It's a greeting from one to the other. Like, buddy, what's up? Like, Goomba. And it's also a term of respect. So that's where you get from compadre becomes Goomba, and then gabagoo is capicollo. Capicollo is a kind of cut Italian meat.
Capicolo. Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, there you go. An Americanized capicollo or whatever, capicol. So gabagoo. It means even gabagoo.
It's so weird. Did we get all the Italians with like weird speech impediments first?
Yes, you did. actually. They all came here.
They just threw him on a boat and were like, good luck in America.
You guys got the deficiente.
So, I mean, if you took like, and I've got family from Jersey, so I'm not dumping on Jersey, but if you took like a Jersey Italian and you dropped him off in Italy and he went and ordered a gabagoo sandwich, would they look at him like he was insane?
Listen, I met a guy who was telling me, my grandma used to make super sale. What the hell is super sale? He was from Jersey. And I finally understood he meant soppressata. So from soppressata, he got soppressa. Super sale, super. What the? I don't know what he was talking about. No, it's the equivalent of if you took a New Jersey guy, like a deep, either Brooklyn or Jersey guy, and he was the only guy, like five guys just like that, that we sent in a pod to Mars before the world blew up.
Right.
And they were going to go forth and teach people how to speak English. You know, water. What's water? Water. What is water? Oh, water. Because then it gets bastardized over the years. You know, water.
I had a really embarrassing situation at a restaurant when I was like a teenager. They were kind of taking my order, and I was like, I'll have the roast beef or whatever I was ordering. And they were like, what do you want for a side? You can have bread or super salad. And I asked for the super salad because it sounded good to me. And then I was mortified. They're like, which one? And I was like, I don't know what you mean.
The super one, the super salad.
Yeah, I'll have the super salad.
There's more than one super salad?
Yeah, put some blue cheese on it. It's great.
Now we've gone full circle. That's back to, you know, I'm going to fucking kill you.
There we go.
After I eat a super salad.
Man, so do we ask you
to talk about?
So give us a breakdown of the episode. I'm sure you remember every episode in glorious detail.
Like, oh, man, really?
You're like, that's the one where Batman faces adversity, isn't it?
It's like asking Charlie Sheen to describe his first hooker. I can't remember
the toddler years.
No, it's not even that. Honestly, what's interesting to me, it's actually shocking to me, is that show ended 10 years ago and it started 15 years ago, which is crazy to think. I honestly, it freaks me out. I still feel like it was yesterday. It's kind of crazy, but it's been a minute. So I honestly don't remember that particular episode in great detail until you started to describe it. I was like, oh yeah, that was a fun episode. But I didn't really remember the specific episode, to be honest.
Yeah, Dave.
Who gives a shit? This is an excuse to just talk about Batman.
Yeah, it pretty much is. And to talk about the Batman series, because I spent pretty much the entire weekend in bed just watching the Batman. And I forgot how great of a show that was.
Well, it's awfully kind of you to say. You know what the truth is, man? It was a super huge amount of fun to do. It really was. It really was fun as shit to do. And I felt like it got better. The first season was perfectly fine, but it was all like villain, fight. Yeah. And as the seasons went on, it got way more about the people, about the Bat family, and it was so much fun to work on. Look, to be able to pretend you're Batman and say you're Batman was already amazing. But like I say, as the seasons went on, it got to be so much more fun and interesting to me. It was great.
When you started to say super, I was kind of hoping you were going to be like, it was a super good paycheck. And you know what? Fuck Batman. I'm a voice actor. I'm Peter Parker,
you know,
bitch.
What?
Batman sucks.
No, let's not mince our words. A gainful employment and a paycheck was also lovely. Bragging rights, that was the coolest job I ever had, I think. I mean, come on. My brother and I collected comic books, man. I just remember the day I called him. I almost didn't even give a shit about the job. I was like, dude, I'm fucking Batman.
It's like, you need meds.
Yeah, no, it was fun, man.
Yeah. So this, just a brief recap of the episode, is what I think is just the coolest name for a villain ever. Like, you got the Riddler, the Joker, and Dave.
And what did it stand for again? DAVE, right?
Yeah, DAVE, Digitally Advanced Villain Emulator.
Nice.
And it's a computer that took all the personality traits of Batman's greatest villains, and it was supposed to be a training simulation, so it would help Batman figure out what these bad guys would do in certain cases. But the computer took a life of its own, found a body. And a nice little tip of the hat to the Terminator, when the computer found a body, he's a nice coat. Give me your coat.
Yeah, now I remember. That I do remember.
Yeah.
I think I might have played the guy with the coat. I think I might have been the homeless guy.
Oh, did you?
I have a vague recollection of that, or a cop or something. You know, we used to play like multiple roles, or at least one or two little incidental roles.
Yeah.
I vaguely recall that.
Yeah. And so it was that was a great episode. There was one question that I do have for you, man. And we were trying to get a hold of him a couple weeks ago, and we couldn't get a hold of him. What was it like to work with Dave Foley?
It was fun. Nice guy. Very nice guy. Fellow Canadian. Nice guy. Not much more to say than that. Very nice. Very, you know, funny. Good guy.
Do you have any stories from the studio?
I got to be honest, not really. Other than it was just uneventful. In other words, just nice, fun. Talk about sports and not the business, whatever, life. It was good.
Right. Why is that always every VO work story? Like, I heard an interview with John Candy about heavy metal, and he was like, I showed up for 3 days, I did my thing, and I left. And everybody was like so disappointed because it's like this cult stoner movie, but he just had nothing else to say. Are there eventful VO work stories where you're like, that was fucking nuts, and that guy got fired? Like,
hell, you know what? There are some stories like that. I worked with Corey Haim in a feature film, like as an actor on camera once, and he was a nice guy, but he was in trouble. He ended up dying, of course. He had a drug problem. He got fired after a week. So there are things like that, and there are cool stories, but often they lose a lot in the retelling. In other words, like when Adam West guest starred on The Batman, I was like, holy crap, it's Adam West. He played the mayor. That was fun for me. I mean, you know, they're not stories, but I remember with him, for example, I was like, hey, you know, he came in, he was super nice and gracious. But then someone said, oh, this is Reno, he's playing Batman. And he did a double take, and he looked at me and goes, oh, so you get to wear the cape and cowl. Congratulations. I was like, oh my God, this is like surreal and bizarre. And to me, like that little moment was like, oh, this is so worth the price of admission. And then I remember asking him to sign my script. And he's like, oh, sure, kid. And he took it, you know, at the end of the thing. And right before he signed it, he looked over the top of his glasses, literally stared me right in the eye and goes, and this isn't going to end up on eBay, is it? I was like, no, sir. This is for me, Bay. Me and my brother. That's it. That, and I remember, what else was I going to say? You know, sometimes, like, there are cool stories. You know, you want to hear a cool story? Robert Englund was a super nice guy. Played the Riddler, I believe. Yeah, the Riddler. And he was on a bunch, and you know, I was like, it's Freddy Krueger, you know, and a perfectly nice guy. So I asked him, I said, you know, what was that like? You know, meaning I wasn't being salacious or like, oh, was it like? I just was like, you know, what was it like to actually be that guy? That's it's a cult thing, man. You're famous. And I'll never forget his answer, because besides the other stuff he might have said, in my recollection, and he did say this, he looked at me and he was like, oh, you know, it was wonderful, it was a blessing, it was this, but, you know, it's hard. I was like, in my head, I was like, what's hard about it? He goes, well, he says, sometimes, you know, you'll meet people out and they're nice, and some other times, you know, you'll meet kids and they'll cry. He said it so sweetly, like as if like he just, as a matter of fact, he goes, they'll meet you and you know they'll just cry, they'll burst into tears. And I was like, oh wow, what a shitty thing. It's one thing to be like, oh man, you so bad, you, oh my God, you're a villain, like, you know, cool, okay, haha, I'm the villain. But to have people actually burst into tears, like, what a shitty thing. You're that guy.
Yeah.
And I felt for him in that moment. I was, you know, classically trained actor. Effectively portrayed this role to the point that people will sometimes, you know, little girls will see him in a shopping mall and just burst into tears. That's got to be heavy, man.
Yeah. But at least he's got a reason. People will see me out in public and just start crying for no reason.
Well, you got to start wearing pants, bro. I keep telling you.
Dude, I just find them too restricting.
I had a mouth of water. And that made me laugh. I almost choked on it.
You know what I find is interesting is that the nicest guys have the worst stories, right? So like John Candy, for example, you talk to a bunch of people and it's like, oh, how was John Candy? And everybody's like, oh, he was delightful. He was the best. And that's the end of the story, right? And then the negative stories, nobody wants to tell him because they don't want to ruin their career. Because it's like, how is Charlie Sheen? Like, yeah, he was, you know, he was all right.
You know what it is too, man. Everyone almost, nobody ever, it's like this. People always will regale you. This is a parallel with how much money they made in the stock market. Oh, they kicked ass. They made this one stock pick. No one ever tells you, oh my God, I'm an asshole. I bought this stock and I lost everything like an idiot. You know, they don't share those stories. They only share the bad stories. And that's why sometimes I think, I'm not a celebrity, so I don't know, but in my experience having, you know, been buddies with people or seen people, people will always like be so quick to judge a celebrity. Like, oh, he was such a dick. Like, well, maybe he's in a bad mood and everyone's up his ass with a microscope and staring at him or her. You know what I mean? Like, in their defense, maybe, you know, it's hard to be like 100% happy all the time just to make everyone else happy, you know? So it's weird, man.
Bruce Campbell in an interview, he was just like, one time I had a guy come up to me and he was like, hey, I ran into you at the airport. This is my Bruce Campbell impression, by the way. I ran into you there at the airport about 5 years ago, and you were kind of a dick to me, and that was kind of cool. See, I just thought, like, what a great thing for somebody to say. And he was like, I was probably just, you know, like overtired and at an airport. Nobody's in a good mood at the airport.
Yeah.
I heard a story like that once about Marlon Brando. And again, it's third hand, so I don't know if it's true. Yeah. Bentley's in Beverly Hills, and some people saw him, like, oh my God, it's Marlon Brando. And they follow him, and like, what's he going to do? And he goes into an ice cream shop, and sure enough, and again, this is third hand, so I don't know if it's made up, but I heard this story. He's ordering ice cream, and the way I said, oh, give me some Rocky Road, give me some. And they see this woman looking at him, go, oh my God, it's Marlon Brando. And she can't help herself. She walks up and goes, oh my God, Mr. Brando, I'm such a fan. Apparently, he doesn't miss a beat. He goes, hey, lady, fuck off. I'm ordering ice cream. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty shitty if it's true. But at the same time, I guess you lead a life where everywhere you go, people are just up your ass. That at a certain point, you just shut them down.
Oh, that would be a great story I would keep in my back pocket. Marlon Brando told me to fuck off once.
You figure, and if these people get, you know, I don't know. What the hell do I know? Celebrity's confusing as hell. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Yeah. You get nice seats in a restaurant and make more money. But other than that, who the hell wants to be famous?
Yeah. Do you get recognized from your voice?
Hell no. I've never once. Actually, I don't know about never once, but no. I don't think I've ever been recognized by my voice. Once in a while, someone will say, like, oh, do you do radio or something? But that's rare.
Because people don't know. Everyone has heard your voice outside, and they just don't know it. Because at some point, they've watched The Voice, and they've heard your promos for that show.
Look, don't get me wrong. I see it as a measure of great pride. In other words, it's not lost on me how lucky I am to be paid to talk. I feel incredibly blessed and lucky, and that's the truth. It's not just lip service. But having said that, I do take secret pride in the fact that we are the most famous, non-famous people in the world. In other words, I like to think that everyone at some point has heard me talk some shit about something, which is kind of fun. You know, it's just like a measure of pride personally. Yeah. I rarely would say that out loud, but I am proud. You know, it's kind of neat. But we have the luxury of also being not at all famous. I wouldn't mind making more money and being famous and getting paid. Like, these celebrities get paid to do cartoons. They get paid 10 times what we get paid, if not more. But I'm lucky to be here, man. I get paid to talk.
So you are the high-pitched girl that goes, this is The Voice.
That's me, man. Yes,
dude, that is impressive.
I'm the button that they put. That's me. I do promos for NBC and some other things and other cartoons. And it's all pretty surreal and cool. Yeah. I never really stopped to think about it, other than it's pretty awesome way to make a living.
What's your favorite of the VO stuff that you do? For the people out there who don't necessarily know, voiceover kind of breaks into several different categories. You could do the acting, you know, like the animation type stuff. You could do promo work on television, and you could also do trailer work. That's also in big demand. Movie trailers, and then there's also commercial. So what's your favorite?
Okay, I got to be honest. I mean, as a day-to-day thing, my favorite is whatever is paying me a salary, meaning I feel lucky to have work and whatever is going to give me gainful employment. You know, movie trailers are great if and when you can get them because they pay. But it's a great question. My personal favorite is animation, is cartoons, mostly because I loved watching cartoons as a kid. I like watching them now, but as a kid, I really loved them. What I like about them is that people are really watching because they want to watch. You're not trying to sell them anything. You're not trying to trick them into going to see a movie that's not that great. And by trick them, I mean, you know, basically hawking a movie that may or may not be good. They're just what they are. People actually enjoy them and watch them, and you get to act. So it's the closest to real acting that there is. And it's stylized. You can exaggerate when it's kiddie cartoons or, you know, stylized cartoons. They're just fantastic, man. And you can also become part of the pop culture. I mean, Batman already existed before I got there, obviously, for decades and decades. But You can create a character like Tom Kenny did with SpongeBob. And when I say created, I mean he was cast as it. Now he's will always be part of like pop culture. It's pretty incredible. So yeah, I'd say animation. And then my next favorite thing is narrations, like Biography Channel, shows that I actually watch. It's just highly interesting to be part of shows like that, just because you're reading stuff that you would normally watch anyway, and it's kind of like being part of it.
I meant to ask you about that, because I saw the Biography Channel on your IMDb, and I was like, whose biography did he do? Because it didn't have it.
You know, I got to be honest, it's been so long, I almost forget. I've done about four of those. What did I do? I did, oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Like I said, I did about three or four of those actual A&E biographies. Jane Mansfield, I think, was one of them. And then I did 50 plus episodes of a show called, the heck was it called? Kevin Burns, not Ken Burns, but Kevin Burns, a lovely guy who did the Girls Next Door and a bunch of other shows. It was a show that was like a biography, but instead of about a person, it was about actual films. And it'll come to me, but basically we did 50 episodes of that. And that was highly interesting to be a part of, because it was a good show. And when you're reading them, it's like you're watching them. So we'd be like doing the show, like, hang on. Rolling. Hang on. Oh my God, really? Okay, and then we roll. It was really cool.
The whole time you were saying that, I was saying, please say you did one on Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. No, we did not.
Because he would kind of have to do his own, wouldn't he?
Wouldn't but
also,
awesome
also speak of the third person.
That would be pretty funny.
Andy Dufresne crawled through a mile of shit.
He'd have to say, talk about himself that way. Morgan Freeman worked on The Shawshank Redemption for 2 years.
Oh, my God. You know what's funny about that guy, dude? Some guys really just are truly blessed with like both a voice, a cadence, and an ability to tell a story. I'd buy water if I was drowning from that guy. I felt that way about Don LaFontaine. Go buy this shit. Buy it now. Fuck yeah, I'm going to go buy this shit.
Like, yes. Yeah. Can you hit us with an In a World?
Oh, man. I could, but it would pale by comparison. You know,
let's hear yours.
In a world.
Oh, that is so good, dude.
It's like butter.
It's giving me a boner. This is getting creepy.
I gotta go. Boner.
That is killer. That you do good Fontaine, man.
I wasn't even trying to do Fontaine. It was just he was. Look, man. Everyone's their own guy, man. Everyone's got something, and he just had this thing, man. I just was truly a fan. I really liked his work beyond the fact that he's, you know, worthy of fandom because he worked so much. His actual work was incredible, man.
Yeah, and he set the standard.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I love, I think he coined the phrase, he would call it his chainsaw read. He's like, bah, bah, bah. He would just like get angry and go for it, you know?
Yeah. You're right. Yes, there's all those 80s movies where like, you know, you'd see like a...
The chainsaw, shit, piss, fuck. It was almost like Grindhouse, you know?
Yes, exactly. Oh, perfect. Chainsaw, piss, shit, fuck is going to be the best band I ever start.
You guys know Corey Burton? He's another really talented guy. Really, really talented guy. Does a lot of animation. He does the best current retro chainsaw read. Like, you know, the old, like, Grindhouse films. He's just got such a great voice, man. He can't even do it justice.
Some of the, like, blaxploitation people, because everybody was, like, a jive-talking mama who didn't take no guff from nobody, right? The Grindhouse blaxploitation ones are all just so, it's almost like they had one guy do one read, and then they just applied that to movie after movie after movie.
I want that on my tombstone, by the way. A jive-talking mama who didn't take no guff from nobody.
Yeah, it'd be like she didn't take no guff from no honky. And then it'd be like, dude, Pam Grier slapping a white guy and firing a gun.
I want that same thing on my grandma's tombstone. Like, what?
My tombstone is just going to read, "That'll do, pig," and that'll be it.
Nice.
So I got to ask you about the Amy Fisher story.
Oh, that's funny, man. You're busting out the old school hits.
I am, because I do a podcast with my brother about John Candy movies, and I had no idea about Lawrence Dane until I started delving into John Candy's early stuff. And now I am a huge Lawrence Dane fan, and I'm amazed not only that you were in like this story that I grew up like being a part of, watching this Amy Fisher thing happen, but you're in a movie with Lawrence Dane, who's amazing.
That's pretty funny, because first of all, yeah, just one thing at a time. The Amy Fisher thing was pretty incredible. And it was pre-internet sensationalism. So think about that, how big that story got without even the internet. When we did that movie, there were three networks, and each of them did an Amy Fisher story.
You couldn't avoid it. We tried to avoid it as kids. We were actively trying to avoid that and the O.J. Simpson trial, but there's no way to. Every channel, all time, was all Amy Fisher all the time.
You know what I never forgot? My favorite Amy Fisher joke was, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Bang!
Oh, man.
You don't even get the who's a bang!
Oh, man. So did you get a chance to meet Lawrence Dane?
You know, I don't honestly remember. It was so long ago, dude. That was like 20.
It was a long time ago.
I think on one of the nights, maybe. I'm drawing a blank, dude. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I just see him. I think he's like one of these guys that for some reason, us in the States, we never got, but. In revisiting these old Candy movies and seeing like a lot of Canadian movies, it was like, man, Lawrence Dane is great.
He's great. I like his voice.
Do you have a favorite Dave?
Do I have a favorite Dave? That's a great question. No, not offhand. If you name one.
David Lee Roth.
You guys ever heard that YouTube thing of just him singing without, you know, just his voice?
Oh, yeah.
It's so good, dude.
Yeah. It is so good. It really is. Yeah, when I first heard that, it was new level of respect for him, honestly. It was like, yeah, that's pretty freaking cool.
He brings his own slide whistle to do his vocal tracks? You would think that would be a separate track.
I think that that's a compilation edit, meaning of the final selects, but still, it's pretty impressive, man.
So I don't know. I mean, the Running with the Devil one, it sounds like he brought his slide whistle in with him.
And he probably did. That's a good Dave. I mean, I'll go with that, unless you get another one to see if we top it.
Boy, I feel like maybe we should we do we need to talk about the actual day from the episode, or are we good?
You know what I was going to tell you guys about? It's just on a side note, I think this is not necessarily what I was saying before, but
yeah,
I worked with John Candy when I was 7 years old, and it was like a feather in my cap. I was so happy about it. No, I was actually nine. I was nine.
Oh, buddy, please tell that story.
Well, it was an episode of SCTV, and it was in season two, and I only know it was in season two. I was a child actor. Because years later, I looked it up. I was trying to find it because I never saw it. It was a really short little thing. I had a couple of lines. I've still never seen it this many years later because they never did release all of the episodes of SCTV. I think that's like a rights thing. In other words,
there's still no box set. Yes.
There is a box set, but it's selected episodes and it's like compilations. They don't have the whole thing, like seasons one through whatever. But even back in the day, as a little kid, there was a feather in my cap. I couldn't, you know, I was just I've been even in a tiny small part. On SCTV, let alone with John Candy. And again, it was really small. It was young John Candy, but yeah, man.
Do you remember much from it?
Hell yeah, I remember all of it because even as a kid, it was a popular show. So it was a big thing for me. I was just starting as a little kid actor. Yeah, it was just really cool. Super cool. It wasn't even a known show yet, other than it was, like I said, a Canadian sort of small little cult thing that I happen to like.
Yeah. I am friends with a guy on Twitter and I've been meaning to get him on. I do a show about John Candy. And I've been meaning to get him on my podcast because he told his like sixth grade class in Canada, like, I'm going to interview John Candy for my like people I admire most paper. Right. Mm-hmm. His name's Scott Eldridge. And everybody laughed at him, including the teacher. And they were like, don't do it. You're stupid. Whatever. And he was like, I'm gonna. And he wrote to John Candy. And John was like, yeah, come on down to the set. And he gave him like this 20-minute interview, and he's got awesome. It on like a tape recorder. So he sat down with a tape recorder and just talked to John before they filmed SCTV. And John was just crazy. Like, the recording of it he's got posted on his website, and it's just amazingly sweet and wonderful. And you're just like, my God, could John be any sweeter? But
yeah, you know what, man? I love those stories. And what I like about them is it doesn't take much to do a kindness in life. And then think about how many years ago that must have been before SCTV. And that's still not only remembered, but like a highlight in that guy's life. And those kind of stories, and I'm sure that John Candy didn't do that on purpose, but those are the kind of stories that live forever. Like I heard a story about Jay Leno that there was a kid who kept on saying Jay Leno's his uncle. He was like telling all his friends. And apparently he writes a letter to Jay Leno going, listen, he goes, I'm kind of embarrassed, but I told all my friends you're my uncle. Is there any way you could pick me up from school in a Lamborghini? And the joke is that apparently Jay, and Jay tells the story. He goes, so I said, yeah. So he got his Lamborghini Countach and he went and picked them up, took him to school, like dropped him off and went, okay, have a good day. We'll see you later. And apparently he did that for the kid because he's a human being. And when he was a kid, he probably, you know, had those fantasies himself and he figured, hey, I can make this happen for the kid. And he actually did it. I love stories like that. It's awesome.
So that's, you know what, awesome. You know what I'm thinking is a sign of an amazing life? If there are, if nobody can make a good biopic about you, right? Because a good biopic involves horrible struggle and drama, right? Like a good biopic, you need a heroin addict. You need a dude who beat his wife, things like that. So perfect life is nobody can make a biopic about you, but everybody has a great story about you. That's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. And by the way, yes, absolutely what you said. And then also you can live a perfectly great, artistic, clean life, and then you do one thing and it's all you're remembered for. I remember meeting Casey Kasem. It was the thrill of my life. This is like 15 years ago. I don't know how long ago. And all I could think of when I met him, and I was a huge fan, you know, Casey Kasem, and I was doing an episode of like a Scooby-Doo something or other, meaning like one of the special movies they made. And I got introduced to the cast. I was really thrilled to be there. You know, I was doing an incidental role and he said, hi, I'm Casey. And I was like, I know who you are, Mr. Kasem. And I took his hand and I was thrilled. And all I could think of as I took his hand, besides being like, wow, it's Casey Kasem, all I could think of was a goddamn dead dog story. Get him on the phone. And that's all I could think of was one outtake that they played the shit out of. And I thought, wow, you do a whole life of doing the right thing, of doing like all kinds of work, hundreds of thousands of spots, and all people remember you for is you blowing your top.
We'll do it live.
Sting, what, I don't know what that means. Wait, God fucking. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we'll man.
Get Don on the phone. That's the one line from that I remember. Get Don on the phone.
Goddamn dead dog. Ponderous, man. Ponderous.
So I got to ask Reno, it's just, yeah, as a voice actor and as a dude who has some killer impressions, are there like very specific sort of not well-known impressions that you do? Because we all do like impressions of like our friends. Is, listen, there like a guy that...
You mean random things that you... Yeah, well, you know, honestly, the answer would be yes, of course. Nothing comes to mind, but I will say, listen, this is my answer to that. You know why I don't do impressions? I do some of them, of course, but there are guys in this business who are so good, they literally take your breath away. I mean, guys who, you know, they're VO cartoon guys like Maurice LaMarche, Billy West, Tom Kenny guy. But I've been in cartoon sessions where these guys, off the cuff, will start doing an imitation, not to try to impress you or anybody else. They start acting like whoever it is they're impersonating in character. Like I once, it's like 1996, I'll never forget it, doing a session with Billy West and Maurice LaMarche. And out of the blue, they start doing Fred and Barney. But I mean like bang on impersonations. And then I don't know how it happens. All of a sudden, they're Jehovah's Witnesses. And like one of them is trying to sell the other one the watchtower. And they're like, fuck off, Bond. Oh, no, Fred. Like, they're just, it's humbling how good these guys are. And then to watch them riff off and do stuff.
Yeah.
It's really, it's something, man. And you think to yourself, man, why aren't these guys on TV or in like, you know, on stage at whatever comedy store, like national competition? They would kill. But they're making money doing VO, so they're not doing that. You're never going to see that. So that's the shame of that stuff. You see it like because you're lucky enough to be in a room and you literally fall down laughing watching these guys just riff off. And it just, no one's ever going to see it because, you know, they're doing cartoons. They're not doing that. They're not doing impersonations. They're not doing stand-up comedy anymore. They used to, but they don't. But these guys are truly, truly world-class. So yeah, do I do some? Sure. But, you know. You're not going to hear one right now.
You know, actually, that's one of the things about your show, The Batman, that I did appreciate. Like, Octopus Caveman and I have gone on and on a couple of episodes about how we're a little bit frustrated with Hollywood because they typically will pick a name to do a voice in a movie. Like, The Jungle Book was the latest example where they're picking all these celebrity names to do these voices, and they're picking them because they're a name, not necessarily because they're the best voice actor.
Honestly, it hurts me to my soul. Forget about money. Like, in other words, oh, I'd like to have those jobs, or anybody else I think is, you know, deserving of those jobs. Not even that. Forget that. There are guys like Jim Cummings who are truly, like, shockingly good. They really are. Forget about, like, ass kissing. These guys are just truly, like, humblingly good, right? You're in a session with these guys. They'll just come up with stuff like it's nothing. you know, Frank Welker. Mm-hmm. But they'll hire a guy like Jim to go ahead and temp lines. I don't even want to name names. I'm just saying that they'll hire him and they'll end up putting him in the movie a little bit. But they'll hire guys like him to just, you know, temp lines. And then what do you know? Lo and behold, they'll play that for like X celebrity to, you know, celebrity X to listen to and then get some ideas from. And it's just, it's kind of heartbreaking. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Hey, have Marlon Brando do the scene for you 8 different ways. We'll take the best scenes, you know, put it on video and then have you just study it and copy it. It won't be near as good. But, you know, it'll be interesting and everything that's interesting about it. And I'm not saying that these stars don't have talent. Don't get me wrong. Some of them are incredibly talented. But it just breaks my heart that those guys who are uber talented might lose out sometimes because, you know, hey, they're not necessarily names. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. It's just a shame because they're really, really good, these guys, man. They really are. But in this new world of celebrity rules, they'll pick a celebrity. And again, some of these celebrities are very talented, but just these guys are otherworldly talented, man.
You know what? Most of them aren't. Let's give us a list of celebrities who you think suck.
Oh, man.
No, we're not going to put you there. But let me finish out the thought, because your show actually gave a few up and comers shots at decent roles. Like, I was looking at some of the names that were in your show, and I thought to myself, I don't know who this is. Like the person who played Harley Quinn in your show. She was an up and comer. She wasn't. They didn't go with a name person. And your show also had just a murderer's row. Like, you had the Adam West, you had the Frank Gorshins. You know.
And you know what else we had? We had a Tom lot of Kenny. Directors that you wouldn't know just looking at a page. But then when they come in, like, oh my God, that guy who's been in like 700 movies.
Yeah.
You know, and that's super fun too to work with those guys because they're great actors. No, man, we had all kinds. Sure, they cast. They do cast, and with shows like that. It's less, or at least back then, it was less the celebrity thing. It's more the feature films and the big, and who can blame them? Because now in a world of Twitter and everything else and social media, they want people to talk about it and people to, it's free publicity. I do understand it.
Yeah.
But I wish for the days when they would actually cast a film, literally cast it, cast Jeanette White and find an Al Pacino in 1970, whatever it was, 71 or 72. And then, put him in The Godfather. That's how you get a star. You get a star because he's amazing, and then that shines through, as opposed to you'll never become a star because you need to get famous first for getting drunk and punching somebody out in a bar and then getting a shitty Disney Channel show, and then all of a sudden you're a young celebrity, and then before you know they're putting you in stuff, whether you can act or not. That just kind of breaks my heart. And again, not to say those people are talented or not talented. It's just that, how about you actually cast? How about you, you know, give people a shot?
You know what? That's porn, bro.
Well, there you go. As long as you got the accoutrements, anyone can join, anyone can call up.
Yeah. All right, so one other thing that we do that is, OC, did you have any other questions?
I could do like 3 hours with you, Reno. You're my favorite, but
you're very kind, madam.
I'm so glad you came on this.
Listen, I don't know how much I gave you or you know what's even usable, but this is me, man. I'm just, you ask me a question, I'll answer it.
Cool. Then in that case, I'm going to take the one portion here and ask you this question before we let you go. The question that I was going to ask is, what makes Batman awesome? What makes him cool? Because in this news story, they were saying we have to redefine Batman for this reboot that we're doing of the whole DC Comics. So we had to figure out what makes Batman cool. In your opinion, what makes Batman cool?
Look, I always liked Batman myself, genuinely, as a fan, as a kid, as a comic book aficionado, just because the story was genuinely plausible. He was actually, I mean, the plausibility meaning that this happened to somebody, things happen all the time that are tragic, and from the ashes of that tragic event, he actually was, it's unfortunate really, it's kind of sick, he was that scarred that he decided to fight crime, and that, you know, he worked out his body and he psychologically and his crime training. I mean, in a simpler world, back when that comic was invented before the internet and obviously all these other new technologies and DNA and God knows what, that this guy was basically a criminologist. He studied psychology, he studied people. He worked out and he basically was badass. And I like that he didn't use a gun. It's kind of a kitschy thing. It just all seems relatively plausible, much more so than, you know, an actual superpower. And I don't know, I just always thought it was cool. You know, Batman's freaking cool and he's rich. And instead of just being rich, in fact, he plays at that role. He does both. He's altruistic and goes out and tries to help people and save people and stop crime. And in a simpler world, I like to think that was it, good and bad. Crime, no crime. Good people, bad people. And he's on the side of good and he happens to be a high-profile good guy and a fighter of bad guys. There's not much else to it, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I mean, maybe
that's
too verbose
an answer, but that's it, man. He's badass.
That was beautiful, man. I was sitting here just like staring off into the middle distance listening to that, and that's the best description of why Batman is cool ever. I was thinking, like, yes, that's exactly why Batman is cool. That is it.
Yeah, you know, he's a playboy. He gets the girls. He's got, like, a father figure, even though he's got no family. He's got, you know, Alfred, and he's got Robin, which is a little strange, but, you know, by the little stranger, it could be misconstrued strange, but at the same time, he's got what amounts to a boy, you know, a kid, and in our series, it was Batgirl. It was like a Bat family. It was nice, man.
Yeah. Do you have a, because, I mean, Batman pretty much is the top of the heap when it comes to playing a character, but do you have other characters that you would like to play at some point?
Well, look, I honestly don't know if he's the top of the heap or not. I was thrilled. I think he's cool as shit. And I got to play Spider-Man as well, which was fun. That was just kind of a nice thing. That was a much shorter lived thing, although I did get to be in the original Activision game, which was supremely fun, not just to be a part of, but because it was kind of a, in my opinion, a groundbreaking game at the time.
Dude, so you're Peter Parker. You're in so much stuff as Peter Parker.
That was
it,
fun.
It crossed so many. Really, yeah, yeah. You did so many games and you know, episodes of like X-Men and stuff. It was great.
You know, I appreciate it. And which other character would I like to play? I don't know, man. But I think Superman. Look, I wouldn't deign to play Superman, but I think Superman's kind of a fun character. I like the old school, simpler Superman. Like, I like the Chris Reeve Superman because it just was fun. But I don't know. I think Superman's fun, even though he's kind of old-fashioned and simple.
Yeah.
And mostly because as a kid, I actually collected Action Comics and Superman comics, and as a DC guy, and I liked them. But before I forget, I've already lost the thought. I wanted to just tell you that, you know, like as a VO guy, you know, again, you're on TV and whatever. Sometimes people will write you the occasional fan mail or you'll sign a picture or whatever. But one of the funnest moments I ever had was, and I just wanted to share this story with you guys because it was a true story. I did the Spider-Man video game, and you know, I wasn't a big gamer, but it was, you know, burgeoning and get the the Xbox. And my buddy, you know, he's playing the game at my house, and he's just giggling and he's laughing, and I'm like, and he's walking around in circles, and he keeps going through like the energy up thing, like, and he keeps going in circles, and he keeps trying to kill me and dying because he wants to hear me scream and laugh. And we're both laughing, but he keeps going through the power up thing, and it goes, and I'm saying like, I'm already at full strength. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He keeps running through and he's laughing and laughing and giggling. And I'm looking at him. He's just giggling because he keeps hearing my voice. And I look at him and I kind of finally go like, dude, I'm already at full strength. Like, you know, there was the same thing that was coming out of the TV and he just couldn't. Yeah. I was even laughing. Like, I'm already, move on. Like, I'm already at full strength.
So, Reno, I think I sorted it out. I think you would make a perfect Wolverine.
Oh, yeah? You think so?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Either physical, like acting performance, or VO. I think you'd make a great Wolverine.
I like it.
I purposely shut my mouth and was just like, I'm just going to listen to this. What character is he? And you are Wolverine, bro.
I like it, dude. I like your casting. I'm Wolverine. Put it out there to the world. Why not?
Give me a Wolverine line, like a something bub line.
Listen, bub, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, you
enough
are.
Is enough.
You are going to do the hat trick of vocal acting performances. It's going to be Peter Parker,
look,
Bruce Wayne, Wolverine.
That's pretty funny. What was I going to say? You know, my ex, when I'd grow a big scruff on my face, she'd call me Wolverino.
That would be actually really good casting.
I think we're starting it right now. Reno is Wolverine.
No, we got to get, if they're doing a new X-Men animated, or
save the Wolverines, man.
Fucking live action. Get pumping, Reno. Let's make this happen.
I got to hit the gym, man.
Hugh Jackman's done. He's got one more movie in him. Come on, man.
Hey, man, why not? I'm in.
Buddy, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it so much. Was there anything that the people out there need to know about you to follow
Anything, but hey, man, I'm just me. I'm out here. I feel genuinely blessed. I really do. I mean, it's a funny word to throw around, but lucky.
Tell you what, is there a charity that you back? I want to make sure that we get listeners of the show back in something that you're into.
You know, the Alzheimer's Society always touches my heart because my grandpa had it before they even called it Alzheimer's, and he helped raise us. And that's my personal, you know, it gets me, but any kind of cancer sucks. So whatever's in your heart, give. Pick one. Pay it forward, even just with actions. You don't have to give money if you don't have money. Just always pay it forward. Because it's funny in life, my feeling is, it's the little things you do. It's not the big things. It's the little things. Just be nice to people.
Amen, brother. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Okay, guys.
All right, man.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk soon.
Okay. Good night.
Bye. Thanks.
Holy fuck, dude. He's the raddest. Is he not the best?
He's a good guy, man. What are
you? I felt bad because I was like, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to let you ask the questions. And I just fanboyed out and was just like, wow, what about Lauren Stain? You know? But he's the John Candy story and shit.
Yeah, that was pretty damn cool.
We should leave this in the episode. Just us hanging up on him and then just fanboying out about like, oh my God! This should remain in the episode. This should be the end instead of our normal Dave off. It's just like, how can you believe it, Dr. Reno? He's the best. I love him. Yeah, I fucking love that guy. That was amazing.
We want to also make sure to promote the Alzheimer's Society. We will provide a link in the show notes for anybody who does want to make a donation to them. So rather than getting into Dave of the Week this week, since this episode is running a bit long, we thought we'd do a couple of updates. The stuff that we normally do at the top of the show, but we were so excited we wanted to bring Reno on right away. So here's a few odds and ends to bring up. Buddy, you left Twitter this week.
I have, yes, and with a heavy heart, and I'm going to miss it. It was a lot of fun being on there, but you know, I've had some stalking problems in my past, so... Yeah. Sadly, that's behind me. I've got a buddy that runs a Twitter for my label, so at 8ARM Music, we'll continue to tweet out stuff about my other podcasts and this podcast and occasional updates about my music. So y'all got to help me promote now because I don't have a way to do it anymore. I don't exist. I'm a ghost. I'm on podcasts and my music exists. So I'm really asking the fans to support me here. I'm going out into some bizarre territory not being able to promote. So I'm asking you all to help me out here and help be a supporter, help be a sneezer and spread the virus. Spread the octopus caveman virus. Go out there and tell all your friends about this show or, you know, about my music. Throw me a bone here because stalking sucks.
Yeah. Dude, I want to pour some out for my homie for the Twitter account because that was a hilarious Twitter account.
Man, I had a lot of fun and I met a lot of friends on there and all you guys, if you're listening, I love you and I miss you and I miss tweeting about pizza and farts.
I'm just saying, you know, the Dave Podcast Twitter account is available if you want to hop on there. I'm just saying.
I mean, maybe it'll just be one of those things where you just never know. Maybe just follow the Dave Podcast and maybe occasionally you'll have some pizza and fart tweets and that's a little nod to me.
Here's something else that we got to talk about, which is Why Not Con in Las Vegas. That's coming up on August 26th, 27th, and 28th. And that's me and OC are headed out to Vegas to tear the town a new one.
It's going to be great.
Oh, buddy, looking forward to it so much.
Me too. And a lot of great podcast friends going to be out there. I'm excited to meet all those people in person. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Afterburn 739 people are going to be there. You from the Alternate Endings. From Ear to Table, Fearcast, Mr. BS Show, Podcast of Two Worlds, That Man on Fat Man, and then a few other people might be coming out too. So if you're a fan of any of those podcasts, you just want to come out to Vegas, you need no one ever needs a reason to go to Vegas. They just need an excuse. So this is the excuse we're giving you, saying, hey, it's a huge podcast of Palooza. I want to go to come out to Vegas August 26th, 27th, and 28th. And it's going to be very Kevin Smith focused because we're all fans of Kevin Smith. So we're going to, you know,
yeah,
that's,
I mean,
that's where the idea came from.
I could take him or leave him.
You do realize that's why we're calling it Why Not Con.
I do.
All right. All right, and then also one last update that we got to throw your way is the we started a Dave War last week with the guys from Dave the Podcast, and you know we fired the first shot. We'll admit it.
We did. Yeah, Seth and I can be pretty brutal,
and so it's been a weird start to the Dave War because a lot of people are getting involved. And, you know, we were joking around picking sides. Well, sides are being chosen.
Oh, no.
In a very Game of Thrones kind of way, a battle for Dave's supremacy is going on. So I put together a little something that gets you. If you're not familiar with the Dave Wars, go back to the previous episode, our Star Trek episode, David Marcus, and you'll hear that within the first, say, 15 minutes of the show. But if you don't want to do that, I prepared a little recap of what's going on, what happened in the Dave Wars, and where we are currently. So please enjoy Chapter 1 of the Dave Wars.
In the spring of 2016, the House of the Dave podcast set upon a journey to spread mirth and merriment among the podcast landscape.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dave podcast. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
Unbeknownst to them, the House of Dave, the podcast, had already embarked on this journey the previous winter.
We know our names.
Right, and the name of the podcast is Dave, because I decided to name it that.
Lines were drawn and a podcast war began to see who would lay claim to the Dave kingdom. Hoping to get the upper hand, the Dave podcast unleashed a fiery verbal assault upon the unsuspecting Dave the podcast.
Oh my god, these guys need to either become our new best friends or our most hated enemies.
Oh, I reached out to them, and they have not responded. So fuck those guys!
Good point, fuck those guys!
In response, in an ultimate act of betrayal, the direwolf Olive chose the side of the Dave the podcast.
I didn't hear that because my dog knocked out my earbuds.
Oh, the dog's already chosen sides.
Needing reinforcements, the Dave podcast beseeched Steve the Knight to pledge the allegiance of the House of the Mr. BS Show to them. Tentatively, he agreed with the cryptic Twitter statement, "We are on your side, for now." Suddenly, a new challenger to the throne arose from the east. House Afterburn 739 threatened to start the David podcast, and David of the House of the Unwritable Rant devoted its resources to their cause. And so the Dave Wars began.
Dude. That's phenomenal. Was that Tracy?
That was Tracy.
Oh, that's so killer, man.
I reached out to your alternate endings co-host to see if she could record a little something to surprise you.
She's the best choice for that voiceover. She's so perfect.
Yeah. You weren't kidding every time you say Tracy's the best. She is awesome.
She's delightful. Love her to death.
Yeah.
That's so good, man. The Dave Wars are heating up. I hope the David podcast does go down. Just, I mean, yeah, Dave the producer producing it, like, that would be a pretty cool show.
So the landscape is open, man. Anybody else who wants to start a David podcast, or David the podcast, have at it.
Let's all just be impossible to find.
I'm kind of imagining like all these Dave podcasts coming together to create this one big giant Voltron Dave podcast.
Yeah. Just there'll be a Dave for every week or every day of the week, you know? This is exciting.
Yeah. I hope it goes on. I don't know if there's going to be a chapter 2, but
we shall see.
Yeah. We'll see what happens in the next week to see if other people come on board and what develops. But yeah, if this is going to be an ongoing segment, I would love it. And I heard from Dave the podcast, and they're open to coming on the show.
Awesome.
So hopefully we'll be able to schedule a time and get them on the show soon and hash all this shit out.
Oh man, that's gonna be a great episode, because it's either gonna be the best, like we're gonna be the best of friends or the worst of enemies, I'm telling you.
All right, so I guess that's about it. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think we can call it a day.
Okay, cool. All right, so if you want to find us on the interwebs, you can find us over at davepodcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at greenkorean1. And OC, we'll see if he pops up somewhere.
I got a MySpace still. That shit's not coming down. And, go to wherever music is sold or stolen and listen to my music or something. You know, fuck Twitter.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And next week, our guest is Big Daddy Jimmy V. We're going to be doing Dave Klein, the cinematographer for Kevin Smith, because we're doing kind of a Happy Birthday Kev episode. So
yeah, I love Big Daddy Jimmy V. From Ear to Table is a great podcast. I love that show.
Oh, that dude hit the ground running with his podcast. It made me so mad. It took me like a year to figure out what I'm doing, and this guy puts out like a great first episode.
With sponsors and everything. The guy just beat us to everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great food podcast. If you're into food, go check out that show.
And it's a very adult show. I don't know that this is not adult, like pornographic, but just like it's a grown-up show. This barely feels like a grown-up show, and that's mostly my fault. His feels like a show for grown-ups. Like, it's great.
Yeah. Oh, and if you're a Kevin Smith fan, he's had on Andy McElfresh, Kevin Smith's co-host from Edumacation. So James gets the A-list guest. So, okay. So, buddy, good hanging out with you.
Yeah, it's the best.
And like sands through the hourglass,
these are the Daves of our lives.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows.
Now these are the Daves.